If you have a Bible, open up to, I believe it's John 14. John 14, right? 25? No. 14, 15. No? I looked it up before.
Is it 14, 21?
No. No, 14, 15. I was right.
Okay.
Let's start that over. If you have a Bible, open up to John 14, 15. And again, let's ask God to bless his word, because those are the words we want to hear, God's word. So God, we thank you for your word, and we pray that you would speak it to us as only you can by your spirit. Let us listen. Open our ears. We're here to sit at your feet, and we pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. Jesus says, I love that we can read the words of Jesus. We don't have to guess what he says. He says, if you love me, do you love Jesus? Do you love, as the Bible calls him, the lover of your soul, right? Or at least the hymn, right? The one who first loved us, who gave himself for us. Do we love him? Do we love him? Remember he said that to Peter, and Peter said, I don't know, I'm not sure after what I did, but you know, Lord. So if you love me, Jesus says, that's us. What does he say to us? Keep my commandments. That if we love God, a way that we can show God that we love him is by obeying his commandments. And what are his commandments? To love God and to love others. What are his commandments? They're not burdensome, right? That we can look and study the commandments, but the idea is that love isn't love if there's not some level of obedience in there, right? If there's not some boundary, right? That I can say I love my wife all day long, but if I'm out breaking my marriage covenant, the law of my marriage to her, it shows that I don't love her. It shows that I don't care about her. If I tell my son Jacob, the law is take out the trash and do the dishes. He can tell me he loves me all day long, but if he never takes out the trash and never does the dishes, doesn't say he has to like taking it out. Doesn't say that the dishes have to be his favorite thing to do. But what does it say? That he has to obey me. That's part of the relationship. The Bible also talks about slaves and masters, husbands and wives, us and others. That in every relationship, there's a dynamic, right? That if you have a boss, you don't have to love your boss. But a way that you show that you're a good employee is by doing what your boss says. The way that you can love God as a child is by honoring your father and mother, by obeying them. So Jesus says, if you love me, and yes, we love him, keep my commandments. The Bible shows that throughout 1 John 2 as well, that we can't say that we love God and do what we want. But it's also been said, if we love God, we can do whatever we want. Because if we love God, whatever we want to do is going to be right by God's way. Though if we love God, we're not going to find excuse for sin. If we love God, we're not going to say, God, no, I'm not going to do what you want me to do. We're going to do whatever God wants to do. And whatever God wants to do is going to be what we want to do. Why? Because we love him. Like I love my wife, or she loves me. Whatever I want to do sometimes is what she wants to do. I'm like, babe, what do you want to watch? She's like, I don't care. I just want to hang out. Right? But that's not all the time. But as a loving husband, I'm like, you sure? I'm not going to make you watch this video. Right? That there's a relationship there, that with God, we need to have a relationship. But with God, God being God, God being King, and us being people, part of our relationship and right relationship with God is obeying what he says to do. And so he says from there, verse 16, I will pray the Father, and he will give you another helper, that he may abide with you forever. See that? We need help to obey God. We cannot obey God in our flesh. We can only obey God with the help of the helper. Who's the helper? The Holy Spirit. He says, the Spirit of truth, verse 17, whom the world cannot receive. Why cannot the world receive him, Jesus says? Because it neither sees him nor knows him, but you know him, for he dwells in you, with you, and will be in you. Right now he's with them, but after the death and resurrection of Jesus and Pentecost, 50 days later, he can dwell within. That the Holy Spirit, as a believer, the difference between a believer and not a non-believer is not obedience to God's law, is not keeping the Ten Commandments, is not knowing the Bible verse. The difference between a believer and an unbeliever is does the Holy Spirit dwell within you? Right? And there were some believers, early believers said, we were not even aware there was the Holy Spirit. But that doesn't mean that the Holy Spirit didn't live in them, that when we put our faith and trust in Jesus, the Holy Spirit comes into us. When we say, God, forgive me of my sin, I believe you're God, that we are now indwelt by the Holy Spirit. That was the difference in my prayer in November 2003 versus any other prayers that I didn't know it at the time. But the difference when I woke up the next morning, the reason why I didn't feel empty anymore is because the Holy Spirit was now actually living inside me versus my just knowledge of him. But he goes on, and that's why the world can't receive him. So the Holy Spirit cannot dwell in someone who does not love Jesus back. And he says this comforting word, because the helper is also the comforter. He says, and he's also the Spirit of truth. So remember, the things that the Spirit says are true. He says, I will not leave you orphans, I will come to you. Isn't that great? God's not going to leave us without a father, without a daddy. We might feel alone in this world, but it's only temporary. And we shouldn't have to feel alone. Why? Because even if no one else is around us, we have the Holy Spirit inside us. If you're alone in a family, alone at work, you're the only believer you know of in 100 miles, that can be lonely. That can be tough. But the Holy Spirit is with you. Know that he hasn't left you alone because the Holy Spirit's with you, but Jesus is also coming back to get you. And the Bible says that the Holy Spirit is your guarantee that he's coming back to get you. And that ties into the rapture too, that when the Holy Spirit steps out of the way and removes the church, it's because he's not going to leave the church. He's not going to step away from the church. He's in the church. If you're a part of the church, not the Holy Roman Church, not the other places that might call themselves church, but if you're part of the true church of Jesus, you've got the Holy Spirit within you, and he's not going to leave you. And Jesus will come to you. So verse 19, Jesus says, a little while longer, and the world will see me no more, but you will see me. Think about that. Believer, have you seen Jesus? Not again in a weird TVN way, I like to say, where, oh, he had a sash and a blue. Maybe you saw them like that. Maybe. I don't want to discount them all. But when I came to faith in Jesus, I saw him in that room with me. I saw him with my spiritual eyes. He was there. Doesn't mean that it was a glowing figure. Doesn't mean that anyone else would have seen him. Like when Paul was saved and knocked off his horse, other people thought it was, they heard a voice maybe, they didn't know what was going on, but Paul saw the Lord that day. Can you see Jesus in your life? Sometimes it's hard to see him. Sometimes you don't know where he is. You're like, Lord, where are you? It's dark. And you don't hear from him for a while, but stay in your word and you'll hear from him. But you'll see him and you'll look back. Sometimes you don't see him unless you look back. You look back on life and go, you know what? God was there. I see him now. Like that famous old painting, 60s, 70s, whatever it was, where it's the footprints in the sand. And it's two sets of footprints. And then the one set of footprints. You say, Lord, you left me. And he goes, no, I was carrying you then. But you don't really see the footprints until you look back. And it's the same way sometimes the Lord. We don't see him in our current situation sometimes. But I guarantee you stick with him. And you look back and you go, oh yeah, he was all over it. So you will see me. Just because Jesus is in heaven doesn't mean we don't see him at work. Doesn't mean we don't experience him in our lives. And again, it's not necessarily with our physical eyes. It's through the Holy Spirit who helps us see him with our spiritual eyes. And he says, why? Because I live, you will live also. That's the Christian life, seeing Jesus. If you don't see Jesus, I don't blame you for being religious. If you don't have the love of God, I don't blame you for being a legalist. What else could you do? But when you see Jesus, let me tell you this, you can never be the same. Things are automatically different. As soon as you see Jesus in your situation, oh, that situation is totally different. Oh, I've got all these problems, all these bills, all these things happening. Oh no, look for Jesus. And when you see him, you go, oh, these things aren't a big deal anymore. Maybe it's even the life that you wanted to live in the first place. And we're going to live too. Jesus lives forever. We're going to live forever. Even if we die physically, we will live forever spiritually. We give him a new body. He says, at that day, you will know I am in my Father and you in me and I in you. I love that. The Trinity are one. And we get to be in part of that holy huddle with him. That just as Jesus is in the Father, Jesus is in us. And if Jesus is in us, guess what? We're in with the Father. Not because of what we've done. As he's blessed us. He says, he who has my commandments and keeps them, it is he who loves me. Again, not the keeping of the law is a substitute for love, but the keeping of the law, or what God wants to do rather, reveals our love for him. And he who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I will love him and manifest myself to him. You want to know where God is? Obey him. You know, Pastor Chuck used to say, stand under the spot where the glory comes out. Go back to the first works. You've left your first love, maybe God might say. Like in the scriptures, right? If you don't see him, go back and do the first things. If you've left, if you've wandered. But know this, that God loves you, and he will show himself to you. You say, I don't understand why I need to do this, God. I don't know why you want me to do this. Go and do it. All these Christians out there who forsake church, go back to church. I know it's not perfect, but go back to church. Listen to God's word, and guess what? You'll see God again. You'll see him in it. Why? Because he told you to do it. Not because, read the letters to the churches. All the churches are messed up in some way, except for one, maybe. But God wants you to be there. Because even if the church was perfect, someone said, as soon as you showed up, it wouldn't be perfect anymore, right? Verse 22, Judas, not Iscariot. You know, I wouldn't want to be that name. No one names their kid Judas, right? As soon as you think Judas, right? No, I'm glad Tim's not that name. Judas, not Iscariot, said to him, Lord, how is it that you will manifest yourself to us and not to the world? I like that he's thinking. I like that he's thinking about what Jesus says. Well, how are we going to see you when the world's not going to see you? And Jesus answered and said to Judas, not Iscariot, if anyone loves me, he will keep my word, and my Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our home with him. You want God to feel at home in your life? Let his word be at home in your life. You know, you want someone to come over your house, you clean up a little bit, you stock the fridge. My friend Joe's coming out in a couple weeks. I always, you know, when I was single and poor, now I'm married and poor, but I had just had celery and water in my fridge, and that became a joke with us. So when he came over last time, we had a little mini fridge set up for him, and I put it water and celery in there for him so that he was good to go, right? When the Lord comes over, does he find even celery and water in the mini fridge for him? What I mean by word, what does Jesus like to eat? The word of God, the manna, right? Is there a feast set up in our hearts, the table of our hearts, for the king when he comes over? Because sometimes someone comes over, you like to sweep things under the rug, right? Or don't go in that room, let's shut the doors. Is it that way with the Lord in our lives? If Jesus and the Holy Spirit live inside you, and that's kind of one way, a good way to tell, you know, and I'm really going off time. I thought we'd get far. We're not getting very far. But when you feel grieved, and it's not you, it's the Holy Spirit putting grief in you over a sin, over something you said. You know, maybe you're really, like me, really sharp with the kids one day, right? Or you did spend money on something you shouldn't have spent it on. Or I don't know what it is for you. I'm just giving my examples. And there's that grief. Oh, just grieved, deeply grieved, like hurting in your heart. It's not you. Your heart was like, buy it. Your heart was like, say it. But now there's that grief. That's the Holy Spirit. Why? Because he's not comfortable in this house anymore. He's not comfortable in this tent. He's like, I'm inside this tent, but there's a hole in it now. I'm inside this tent, but there's trash everywhere. I'm not comfortable anymore, so to speak. And I'm simplifying it, right? But I think we get the point that we need to obey God. And not in a sense to keep him happy, but make sure that our heart, our life, is an acceptable home for him. Because he wants to dwell in us. He doesn't want to dwell in a temple. He doesn't want to dwell in a building. He wants to dwell in us. And if we love him, we're going to want to make sure that he's comfortable. He doesn't demand it. But if we love him, we're going to make him comfortable. If I love my kids, I'm going to make sure that their bed isn't made. You know, Timmy didn't have a pillowcase on the other night. I was like, oh, Timmy, let me get you a pillowcase. I'm sorry. You know, I noticed it had been a couple days. I thought he just had it. And he put another one on and it wasn't on there. I'm like, my boy's got to have a pillowcase. Let's get Optimus Prime out of your bed, because Optimus Prime can go sleep in the garage, right? The bed's for you. Because I love my son. I want him to be comfortable and cared for. And we have guests coming over, right? I moved the trailer the other day so that they'd have a place to stay and there'd be room and it'd be comfortable and nice, and I made a nice view for them, right? We do that for the people we love in this life. Do we not do it for the Lord of eternal life? And again, he would never demand it. Jesus will sleep on the couch. Jesus will stand up in the corner. But don't we want him to be comfortable in a free room? Oh, no, Jesus, don't go in that room. Oh, no, Jesus, don't look at that movie. Jesus, don't read my texts. Do we not want him to be comfortable in all those things? Because they'll make our home with him. God wants to be at home with you. That's what it's all about. He wants to be not only just your friend, but your roommate, your life mate, one who goes through every single thing that you go through with you. Why? Because we need a helper. And he wants to be that helper. My devotion was talking about we're never a burden on him. And even when he went to the cross, if we were to look at him in the eyes, we would never feel like we were a burden to him as he suffered those things. And what a comfort it is to know when we're burdened and we feel like a burden sometimes, that he's never burdened by us, you know. And our mess, so to speak, never burdens him. He just goes, hey, time to take out the trash. Time to clean that up. That's not what I want. And so when we grieve him, we should take it to heart. And so he says, that's how you guys are going to see me. Verse 24, he says, he who does not love me does not keep my words. Remember, the Pharisees kept the law, did they not? They tithed to their mint and cumin. They were very, oh, we're not going to do that on the Sabbath. We're keeping the law. But they kept the law of whom? Moses. They didn't keep the law of God, of love, even though, you know, I know there's some semantics there, but I think you get what I'm trying to say and what the word is saying, because we're not going to hang on to the word of God. In fact, no matter what garb we're wearing, priestly garb, if we're not holding on to this word and saying that this word is the important word, we're going to do that if we love him, because we're going to know that he's God and he's the right authority, and we're going to want to know what God says. But if we don't love him, we're going to go, you know, I love this other thing. I love these people, the way they are, this culture. And so I'm going to say that God's word is wrong when it says something about this action or this person or this culture, because I love them and God is love. So we've just misinterpreted what God said the whole time. That's another message for another day. But he says, he who does not love me does not keep my words. What does David say? God, have hidden your word in my heart. Why then am I not sinned against you? And he says, the word which you hear is not mine, but the Father's who sent me. Again, when we love God, we love his word, we keep his word, we hear Jesus' word. And when we hear Jesus' word, it's really the Father's word. It's really the ultimate authority of the universe. And he goes on, he says, these things I've spoken to you while being present with you. But the Helper, the Holy Spirit, you know, there's spirits in the world that aren't holy. And they'll talk to you. They'll try and dwell in you as well if you're not a believer. But the Holy Spirit's in you. You can't be indwelt by another spirit. But the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all things that I've said to you. I love that Jesus lays it all out, so it can be written down. And what does the Holy Spirit do? The Holy Spirit doesn't draw attention to himself. The Holy Spirit, the Father sent Jesus. The Father said, Jesus, come on back. Now the Father tapped the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit goes into the game, so to speak. The Holy Spirit's with us. And what does the Holy Spirit do? He says, look at me, I'm the Holy Spirit. Don't worry about what... No, he says, hey, remember what Jesus said when he was on earth? Remember he said, I'm not going to leave you as orphans? You ever have those times when you're praying or when you're in a situation, all of a sudden a verse comes to mind? And you're like, I never memorized that verse. I read that verse in the seventh grade. Or maybe it is. Maybe you did memorize it. Maybe you're like, I memorized it last week and I've just been trying to memorize scripture more. And now all of a sudden you're in a situation and you just hear that whisper of that verse, that still small voice. That's the Holy Spirit. He's reminding you what Jesus said. Why? Because he's the helper. And a helper is going to remind you of what you need to do. That's why I have a calendar. Right? Because the calendar reminds me of things. My anniversary is coming next week. There's birthdays coming up. Things I can't remember on my own. My calendar helps me remember. I can remember my anniversary. It's sometime in April. But sincerely, that's what God does. He wants to help you. He wants to remind you. And a good friend, someone who loves you, is going to remind you of things. He's going to tell you things. And what does the best friend tell you? Things that Jesus said. And he says, he will teach you all things, right? I can get up here until I'm blue in the face. Sometimes I feel like that. Sometimes I probably look like that. But if the Holy Spirit is not opening his word to you, I can't do anything about that. And here's the funny thing, right? God can even use a flawed teacher, someone who's messed up, like me, forgiven but messed up. But God can also use someone who's like totally apostate and use them if someone's really seeking him. Now, is that the best way? There's all sorts of dangers there. But the point I'm trying to make is that if you are seeking God and you really want to know God, he will make himself known to you and he will teach you by the Holy Spirit. Even where you get saved and you're going to a whack church, the Holy Spirit's going to go, this place is whack. Something's not going to be right in your spirit. And you're going to be like, I need to get out of here and I don't know what it is. Or I don't have peace. Or, you know, there's been times when I bounced around to other churches when we had moved. And it's not that there was anything wrong with it. You know, some of them were. But some of the church, I was going to Pastor Caleb's church in town. Capstone, great guy, great ministry, held up the word, people go there. But I was never settled there because the Holy Spirit's like, I got something else for you to do. I got somewhere else for you to be. And it's nothing against the place. It's nothing against the man. It's nothing against the ministry. But I wasn't settled because the Holy Spirit was like, I want you to step out and do something different, right? And we serve the same God. He can be the Navy. I can be the Coast Guard, right? We can work together in the army. But the point is that the Holy Spirit is going to teach you all things. And how does he teach you? By reminding you what Jesus said, that we need to listen to the Holy Spirit. We need to listen to God's word. And when we listen to the Holy Spirit, and that's where some of these movements get off so wrong, is they think that if I just say the Holy Spirit, the Lord, I feel like the Lord is saying. And yeah, sometimes you will feel like the Lord is saying something. But what is the Lord always going to be saying? The Scripture. It's never going to disagree with Scripture. The Holy Spirit's never going to say to you, go ahead and steal that apple. Why? Because God already laid it out in his commandments, do not steal. And it's simple. It's very simple. And I don't want to, my wife and I were in a conversation in the car, and I don't want to get off on all that. But listen to the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit's always going to point you to Jesus, always going to bring you back to the Word. If the Spirit is not bringing you to the Word of God, guess what? It ain't God's Spirit. If that's not the trajectory of it, right understanding of God's law. He says, peace I leave with you, Jesus says. My peace I give to you. Not as the world gives. The world gives and expects something in return, doesn't it? But Jesus says, I give to you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. Why would it? Because Jesus left, because the world's against you. But don't be troubled. Don't be afraid. You got a helper. You got the word. And he's coming back for us. And Jesus said it. He says, you have heard me say to you, I'm going away and coming back to get you. If you loved me, you'd rejoice because I said, I'm going to the Father. My Father is greater than I. I need to stop there because I read something the other day. Now, I'm going to touch on the Charlie Erica Kirk controversy stuff. And I don't plan to know anything that she says or does or feels, what's right or wrong or what really happened. I know the man died. I know kids lost a father. I know there's an insane spiritual upheaval in this country that's manifesting politically. But someone said, oh, Erica Kirk was glad that he was in heaven. And how could she be grieving about that? And of course, you know, I get baited and I comment on the post. But I'm like, you know what? I know heaven is real. I don't know how good heaven is because I haven't been there, but I know that heaven is better than here. And I think of my friends and my family who have gone on to heaven before me. As much as I miss them, as much as I love them, as much as I would want them here with me now, I am glad that they are there. And I would not want them to leave and come back and have to deal with this place anymore. I would rather go ahead and be with them. Now, I hope that that's what Erica Kirk meant when she said that. I hope that that's the heart behind it, right? You know, who knows people, right? But we're so quick to judge because we don't really understand spiritual things there. But he says, if you love me, you would rejoice because I said I'm going to the Father, for my Father is greater than I. Like, if we really love Jesus, we'd be glad that he's back in the Father's presence. We're not going to be mad that he's not here with us anymore. Why isn't Jesus here? Can Jesus come get me? He will, but you know what? He sent you his Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is better because the Holy Spirit dwells inside you. Jesus, while on earth in a body, was limited to one place at one time. The Holy Spirit can be in you and you and you and you and me and them over there and in China and Asia and Canada and Africa. The Holy Spirit can be in every believer, and we get the comfort better than even John laying on Jesus' chest. That one man, that one time, we get him all the time inside us that no one can take away. And so if we know that heaven is better, we know that going to be the Father is awesome. We're glad that Jesus gets to go be back with the Father. We know their relationship. Man, they were separated. They're going to be separated across. They're back together. I'm so glad Jesus is in heaven because he's preparing a place for me. And he says, now I've told you before it comes that when it does come to pass, you may believe. Right? The things Jesus told us, the part of our comfort is he tells us things before they happen. That's part of prophecy. It's not just speaking forth the things of God, but in a sense, speaking forth the future things of God that we have not experienced yet. We have not seen yet. And I'm going to give you a weird example because we live in 2026 and things are weird. They're starting to talk about aliens, a different alien species. And they're talking about one of these alien species that the government's going to reveal is an insectoid species. And somebody online was like, well, I guess we got to rethink the Bible. And I said, no, we don't. Revelation, I forget, I have to look it up. The fact that it doesn't even mean that much to me, I just have to look it up. But Revelation talks about insectoid creatures coming out. Locusts that have no king, that come out and torment people, but aren't given the opportunity to kill them, right? Like, we're not going to get into a Revelation study. But God's told me beforehand that any weird thing that the world wants to come out with, I can just read my Bible and read it normally. It's going to get into my heart, and the Holy Spirit's going to go, hey, remember that time you read Revelation? And I told you about those things that are yet to come to pass. Don't be troubled. Be comforted. I know exactly what they are because the Bible tells me what they are 2,000 years ago when John wrote it down. So no, whatever the government releases, whatever deception goes out in the world, doesn't affect me because I have the truth. And the Spirit of truth reminds me of the words of truth that the way, the truth, and the life spoke 2,000 years ago, right? So I think that's the point there. That when it does come to pass, you might believe. That when these things that God prophesies, tells about the future, tells about himself, when I die, when I resurrect, when I go back to the Father and go, he told us it was going to happen, so he's in charge. So we don't have to worry about it. If he told us that he was going to die and resurrect and go to heaven, and then it happens, then we can equally be assured that he's coming back to get us. That just as much as he said he'd do all those things, come back from the dead, well, of course he can come back to get us, because who's going to stop a guy who is resurrected, right? But he says, I will no longer talk much with you, for the ruler of this world is coming, and he has nothing in me. Satan has nothing of God. He has no power over God. Nothing about God is owed to Satan. Satan has no power but what God allows him to have. But he's not going to talk with us much longer. Jesus was here for a couple of years, and the rest of our lives is just remembering what he said in this book. There's a finish. There's a start page. There's an end page. And that's it. Because the days are short and the days are evil. But the world may know, that the world may know that I love the Father, and as the Father gave me commandment, so I do. Arise, let us go from here. And that part of Jesus' ascension was to prove to the world that I love the Father. Even though they don't see him, even they don't believe in him, that's part of the Holy Spirit's work, is to convict of righteousness, of judgment, right, of all those things of God. And part of that is by saying, look, Jesus left, but he's coming back. Then when he comes back, you're going to be in trouble, right? When daddy comes home and sees the mess you made, there's going to be trouble. There's going to be discipline. There's going to be judgment. And that's what the Holy Spirit is doing now. He's convicting the world of sin, of judgment, and of righteousness, right? Jesus is coming back. He's not dead. He's alive. And the Father gave me commandments, so I do, right? That Jesus did everything under the authority of God. He says, arise, let us go from here. And as we go from here tonight, remember that God has given us all authority in him. Not to use it for ourselves, not to name it and claim it, but to go and to preach the gospel. To go until every last person hears. To live a life that when we're raising ducks and bunnies, when we're going to work, when we're at the store, when we're at a family gathering, when we're at a picnic, even doing the little things in line at Costco, that we're about our Father's business, that we can be comforted. When we go and fill up the gas tank and it costs 2-3 times as much as it did a year ago, oh, I can be comforted. God knows my needs. I can be comforted. At the very least, Jesus is coming back, right? Not that we check out of society, but that we have a hope in the future that's coming, and that his words are sure, that even when the words of the politicians aren't sure, even when the words of the people in our lives aren't sure, even when the church begins to have the great falling away and a great apostasy, we can go, well, that's their problem. I'm sticking to God's word, and I'm going to stick even closer to him. The further they fall, the more I'm going to cling to this, because, man, I don't want to go in the era of Balaam and Canaan, right? That I want to stay where my father is, and my father wants to be where I am. And he's my comforter, and he's my helper, and he's going to remind me of what his word is. And when I'm reminded of his word is, I'm going to obey it because I love him, because he loved me first. And I'm comforted, and I'm cared for, and I'm sure, and I'm on a strong rock. Amen? Because it's the words of Jesus. He says, let not your heart be troubled, right? He's coming back. So God, thank you that you're coming back. Thank you that you trusted us with your word. And God, that really, it's only by you that it's lasted this long, that we still have it and it's complete and authoritative. We have the Greek, the Hebrew, the English, the Japanese, the Chinese. We have all these translations of it. God, thank you for that. We pray that everyone in the world would hear. We pray that you would, including our neighbors, including our family, that we would preach to the youngest and the oldest and the ones that we don't like and the ones that we do like. And in the midst of being disquieted in the world, upset by the world, let us remember that we have a comforter in you, and let us not upset you either. God, make your home in us and make it a home that's holy. God, whatever needs to go away, let it go away. Help us to obey you because we love you and know that you love us, and so it shouldn't be a big deal to obey you, because whatever you ask us to do is a good thing. So bless your people, bless our families, bless our neighbors, care for them in their need right now. We pray. Bless your church, and may you come soon. We look forward to that day. And thank you that you're up there doing what you do best. We ask in Jesus' name, in your name. Amen. There is a vineyard of the Lord. There is a vineyard for our soul. With all our troubles left behind the door, we drink first light until the door.